Chapter 5. Paul Faces Life. Morel was careless of danger. About a year after William went to London, and just after Paul had left school, before he got work, a great piece of rock fell on Morel's leg when he was working in the mine, and broke it in several places. He had a very bad time in hospital. For a week, he was in a serious condition. Then he began to mend. Knowing that he was going to recover, the family began to worry less and to be happy again. Mrs. Morel talked to Paul almost as if she was thinking aloud, and he listened as best he could. In the end, she shared almost everything with him. Together, they learned how perfectly peaceful the home could be. Paul was now 14 years old and looking for work. His face had lost its boyish roundness and was rather rough-looking, but very expressive. He was quite a clever painter for a boy of his age, and he knew some French, German, and mathematics. He was not strong enough for hard physical work, his mother said. He did not care for making things with his hands, but preferred going for country walks, or reading, or painting. "What do you want to be?" his mother asked. He had no idea.
"Anything."
"That's no answer," said Mrs. Morel. But it was the only answer he could give. "Then you must look in the paper for advertisements," said his mother. He copied out some advertisements and took them to her. "Yes," she said. "You may try." He used a letter which William had prepared for him to write to the different companies offering jobs. His handwriting was terrible. William wrote from London in a kind of fever. He seemed unsettled by the speed of his new life. His mother could feel him losing himself. He wrote of dances and going to the theatre, of boats on the river, of going out with friends. But she knew he sat up afterwards in his cold bedroom, studying Latin and learning all he could about the law, because he wanted to improve himself. He never sent his mother any money now. It was all taken, the little he had, for his own life. Mrs. Morel still dreamed of William and what he could do, but in her heart, she was worried. He also wrote a lot now about a girl he had met at a dance, Lily Weston. His pet name for her was Gypsy. She was young, beautiful, very well dressed, and much admired by men. His mother congratulated him in her doubtful fashion. She imagined him tied to an expensive wife.
"I'm very likely an old silly," she told herself, expecting the worst.
But the worry remained that William would do the wrong thing. Soon, Paul was asked to go for an interview at Thomas Jordan, maker of medical appliances, at 21 Spaniel Road, Nottingham. Mrs. Morel was delighted.
"You see," she cried, her eyes shining, "you've only written 4 letters, and the 3rd is answered. I always said you were lucky."
Paul looked at the picture of the wooden leg wearing an elastic stocking that appeared on Mr. Jordan's notepaper. He had not known that elastic stockings existed. Mother and son set off one very hot morning in August. Paul felt extremely nervous, but he refused to tell his mother, and she only partly guessed. They travelled the 16 miles to Nottingham by train. Mother and son walked down Station Street, feeling the excitement of lovers sharing an adventure. They turned up a narrow street that led to the castle and found the Thomas Jordan sign. They went through a big doorway into an open space full of boxes and packing stuff, and up two lots of stairs. In front of them was a dirty glass door with the company name on it. Mrs. Morell pushed open the door and stood in pleased surprise. They were in a large workshop with thick paper parcels piled everywhere, and clerks with their sleeves rolled up, calmly going about their business.
"Can I see Mr. Jordan?" she asked one of the clerks. "I'll fetch him," answered the young man, and went to a glass office at the far end of the room.
A red-faced old man with white hair came towards them. He had short legs and was rather fat. They followed him to his office and were told to sit down.
"Did you write this letter?"
he asked Paul, holding it up.
"Yes,"
he answered.
"Where did you learn to write?"
Paul simply looked at him, too ashamed and nervous to speak.
"And you say you know French?"
asked the little man sharply.
"A friend gave him lessons," said Mrs. Morell quickly.
Mr. Jordan hesitated, then pulled a sheet of paper from his pocket and passed it to Paul.
"Read that,"
he said. It was a letter in French, in strange, spidery foreign handwriting, which was very difficult to read. Paul struggled with the words.
"Please send me 2 pairs of grey cotton stockings without fingers."
"Without toes,"
the factory owner corrected him.
"Stockings don't have fingers."
Paul hated the little man for making him look stupid.
"When can he start?"
Mr. Jordan asked his mother. It was agreed that Paul would be employed as a junior clerk at 8 shillings a week. As he followed his mother down the stairs on their way out, she looked at him with her blue eyes full of delighted love. On the Monday morning, Paul got up at 6 to be ready for work. He had bought his season ticket for the train at a cost of £1.11, and his mother had packed his dinner in a small basket. She stood in the road, watching him as he crossed the fields to the station. Now she had 2 sons in the world, one in London and one in Nottingham. They came from her, and their work would also be hers. All morning she thought of Paul. At the factory, Paul was told to work with Mr. Pappleworth, an amusing man who was about 36 years old. Pappleworth showed him what to do. They had to read the letters ordering different appliances, note down each order in a big book, write out the exact details on a yellow order paper, and take the order to one of the departments to be made. Most of the orders were for elastic stockings or bandages. Later, he was introduced to Polly and the girls downstairs, and then Fanny and the girls upstairs. At 1 o'clock, Paul ate his dinner, and then he went out into the brightness and freedom of the streets until 2. In the afternoon, there was not very much to do. At 5 o'clock, all the men went downstairs and had tea. After tea, the gas lights were lit. Paul had done his paperwork, and now he had to pack up the finished goods in parcels, writing the address and putting the right stamps on each one. At last, he was free to grab his dinner basket and run to the station in time for the 8:20 train. His day in the factory was exactly 12 hours long. He did not get home that evening till 9:20. He was pale and tired, but his mother saw that he was rather pleased. He told her everything, all he had seen, all he thought, every detail of the experience. so the time passed happily enough. The factory was a friendly place. Nobody was rushed or driven too hard. And every Friday night, he put his 8 shillings proudly on the kitchen table. Then he told his mother the happenings of the day. It was almost as if it was her own life.